Okay, we'd like to dedicate the shir, Le'ili Nishmas, Miriam Bas Rachel Levy, a very chashuv woman whose yahrzeit is the fourth Ner of Hanukkah this evening. And due to her daughter, who arranged the shir, it should be Le'ili Nishmas, her mother, Aleha Shalom. We find in the Mishnah in Masechta Brachos Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis, the Mishnah there is discussing Havdalah, the candle of Havdalah. And we know that the bracha is Borei Ma'orei Ha'esh. There's different opinions whether a woman is chayiv in this bracha, but the bracha is Borei Ma'orei Ha'esh. However, this is only the opinion of Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai's opinion is that the bracha is Bora Mo'or Ha'esh. And the Gemara there explains that Beis Shammai is of the opinion that Chada Nu'ura Ika Binara, that in a flame you have one, there's like one color to the flame. It blends together like as if it's one color. However, Beis Hillel, that's why Beis Shammai says, Bora Mo'or, singular, Mo'or Ha'esh, the light of the candle, of the fire. Ubeis Hillel Savri Tuva Nahori Ike Benura. That in a flame you really have it, it looks like one together, but if you look at it carefully, you'll see it's divided into different flames that together merge together, but there's really separate one. And Chazal say, Amrulam Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel said to Beis Shammai, Harbe Ma'oros Yesh Ba'or. There are many lights in the light. And Rashi there explains, Harbe Shalheves. There's many flames. Aduma, red. Levona, white. V'yirakrekes, and green. In other words, it's Bore Ma'ore Ha'esh. It's plural. There are many colors that merge together, but we have to look at it like separate colors. So we know that in Hashkafas HaTorah, light represents the light of Torah. Kiner mitzvah v'Torah or. So just like we saw in the light of the Havdalah candle, where we paskin, like Beis Hillel, that we say, Borei Ma'orei Ha'esh, that the fire is made from different colors, so too the fire of Torah is made from many different thoughts. On every word of the Torah, every word of Chumash, you have thousands and thousands of thoughts. And in the Mefarshim, if you look, one Perish has a different pshat than the other. Every one has thousands. And this represents Torahs like fire, that it's not one, it blends together, it becomes one. But it's made up of thousands of different colors. And Ner Chanukah, which we're busy with now, we're in the middle of the Yom Tov of Chanukah, the Ner Chanukah of the menorah is also a symbol of Torah. We know that the Neiros Chanukah represent the Neiros of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And the menorah represented Torah. That was... In fact, Chazal say, Harotza lehachim yadrim. If a person wants to become smart in Torah, he should daven to the south. Because in the Beis HaMikdash, where was the menorah? On the southern side of the Beis HaMikdash. If you want to get rich, it says you should daven to the north. Because the north was the shulchan. That was the table which had the lechem upon him. That's if you want to daven for gashmias, for physical, there you daven to the north. But if you want to daven for spirituality, for chokhmah, there you daven to the south. So the menorah represents Torah. And therefore, it's no wonder that in Chanukah itself, Chanukah is the holiday of Torah. We say in the Alanisim, what did they want to do, the Yevanim? Lahashkicham Torah Secha. They wanted to make us forget our Torah. And I said a pshat once that there's a famous question of the Beis Yosef. Why is Chanukah 8 days? It should only be 7 days. They had enough oil for one day. It lasted for 8 days. Why do we celebrate Chanukah 8 days? So on this question alone, there are probably close to 1,000 answers. There's a Sefer that was printed. I think he has 500 answers on the question. And since the Sefer was printed, there's probably another 500 Terutzim. Many, many answers on one question of the Beis Yosef. One aspect of the holiday of Hanukkah, you have so much. And I think the reason is because it's trying to show what is Hanukkah. Hanukkah is Torah. And Torah is multifaceted. It's made up of all these colors of the Torah. All the different Purushim are beautiful colors that color this flame of Torah. So the Pri Chodesh, what's his answer to this question of the Beis Yosef? He says the first day was for the victory of the Jews over the Yevanim. The other 7 days was for the candles, for the Nes that the Pach Shemen, which was supposed to only last one day, it lasted for 8 days until they made new oil. All the other oil in the Beis Hamikdash became Tomei from the Yevanim. This one had the seal of the Kohen Gadol on it. It wasn't opened. It was still Tohar. But it only lasted one day. The Nes happened to last 8 days. So that's why we have 8 days of Hanukkah, says the Pri Chodesh. The first day for the miracle that the small band of Jews, who actually were six Jews, you have Matisyahu, Yechon, and Kohen Gadol, and his five sons. You have six Jews against tens of thousands, and by miracle it was Rabban Biyat Miyatim. So for that Nitzachon, that's the first night of Hanukkah. The question is a very simple question. Let's have Hanukkah 8 days and start lighting on the second night of Hanukkah. If the first day you're saying is the victory, so eat the latkes. Eat donuts for the first night. But why are you lighting a menorah the first night? You should only light starting the second night of Hanukkah on. The answer I wanted to suggest is because the first night we light to show what was the victory of the Chashmonaim over the Yevanim. It was a victory of this light. This light, which is Kiner Mitzvah, V'Torah Or, which represents Torah, it wasn't just two enemies that were fighting each other and the Jews won over the Greeks. No, it's a much greater victory. It's a victory of Torah over... it says in the Chumash that Choshech, there was Choshech on the whole world. Chazal say, who's Choshech? Choshech is Yavon. Yavon represents darkness in the world, going after physical strength and beauty. That's the darkness of the world. But the Torah, the Or, was Menatzeach over the Choshech of Yavon. So that's why the first night we light the candle, not because there was a miracle concerning the candle. The miracle was concerning the victory. But what was the victory? The victory was a victory of this candle, which represents Torah. So therefore, I'd like to share with you, I called this Shir Thoughts on Hanukkah. It's going to be a few different thoughts on different aspects of Hanukkah, but together it'll be part of the flame of Hanukkah, as we just explained, that a flame is made up of different parts, different colors. There are some times when Hanukkah, we have two Shabbos Hanukkahs, right? We light the first candle on Shabbos, Erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos, and then we light the... we light the last one on the second, right before the second Shabbos, and it comes out we have two Shabbos Chanukahs, Vayeshev and Miketz. Those are the parshas that are Shabbos Chanukah.
Why is Vayeshev?
Sorry.
Excuse me.
Why is Vayeshev?
No, one
Excuse
of.
Excuse me. The first Shabbos was Shabbos night. The first light.
Right, right. No, I'm so not saying. I said usually. I'm saying not this year. I'm going to speak about this year in a minute. When we have two Shabbosim of Hanukkah, the first one is Vayeshev, and the second one is Miketz. Miketz is always Shabbos Hanukkah. Like this year, this year is something special, which I attended Rav Schlesinger's shir, but I'm not giving his shir, but one thing I learned from the shir was that this year, something hasn't happened in 20 years, that we have two Moitzoi Shabbos Hanukkah, but only one Shabbos Hanukkah, because we light the first candle on Moitzoi Shabbos, And the eighth candle we're going to light on Mitzray Shabbos again. So we only have one Shabbos Chanukah, this coming Shabbos Parsha Miketz, but we in fact have two Mitzray Shabbos Chanukah. So Parshas Vayeshev was this year, last Shabbos, was Erev Shabbos Chanukah. And so I'm just going to share with you a thought which is negay to Parshas Vayeshev, and it's also negay to Chanukah together. And this is based on a Gemara in Shabbos of Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. Amar Rav Kahana, said Rav Kahana, Dorish Rav Nosson Bar Menyumi Mishmeid Rav Tanchum. Rav Nosson Bar Menyumi said in the name of Rav Tanchum, Ner Shel Chanukah Sheinicha L'mayla Michof Amah Psula. The light of Chanukah, if you put it above 20 Amas, an Amah is around 2 feet, that means if you put it 40 feet above the ground, it's pasul, because people can't see it. The normal vision, when you look straight ahead, 40 is way up. You have to put a Ner Chanukah Persumei Nisa, that people should see that a nest took place. You put it way up where your eye doesn't. Yes, if I lift my head, I could see it. But on the where I'm walking right now, I don't see it. It's possible.
People in apartment houses.
Okay, apartment house, it's in other words, for the people who are lighting inside your house, so there's Persumei Nisa there. Ein Echanami, for the people on the street, maybe not, but you're doing it mainly for the people inside your house. So Ein Echanami, in your house, if you put it, you have a high ceiling and you would put it 40 amas high in your house from the ground floor, you wouldn't be yotze. But if you put it in your house by a window, you're yotze.
Yeah, I just can see it.
Oh. Okay, so now that's the first statement that we find Dorish Rav Nosson Bar Menyumi Mishmeid Rav Tanchum. Then the Gemara says Ve'omar Rav Kahana Dorish Rav Nosson Bar Menyumi Mishmeid Rav Tanchum. Again, another my dechsiv v'habor reik ein b'mayim. This has to do with Parshas Vayeshev. It says they threw Yosef into a pit. The pit was empty, it had no water in it. So there's a question. Why does the Torah say there was nothing in it? Habor reik ein boy mayim. Obviously, if you tell me it's empty, it had nothing in it. It had no water, nothing. So Ella ma tamad loymer ein boy mayim. It was empty, it had no water. Mayim ein boy. Aval nechashim akrav miyesh boy. It had in it snakes. The Torah is trying to tell you it looked empty, but it really wasn't totally empty. It didn't have any water, but we have to deduce it didn't have any water, but it had something else. What did it have? Nechashim akrav. The question is, these two Gemaras are put one next to the other. What is the connection between the first one, that Chanukah light you shouldn't put above 40 feet from 20 amos, and this one about the pit that there's no water, but there is snakes? So Rashi, in Masechet Chagigah Daf Gimel, which brings the same Gemara, says, since Rav Tanchum said the first one, they brought the second one, which was also Rav Tanchum. You'll notice the names of each mimer are the same. Amar Rav Kahana, Dorish Rav Nosson Bar Menyumi, Mishmei de Rav Tanchum. Rav Nosson Bar Menyumi said in the name of Rav Tanchum. So a lot of times when the Gemara quotes something from a Gadol, it will then say another thing that same Gadol said. So according to Rashi, there's really no connection. It's just the connection is that the same person said both. However, the Torah Tamima says no. There is a very basic connection, and that is as follows. We know that the brothers thought that Yosef is a Russia. They thought he's speaking Lashon Hara, he's trying to get them in trouble. They paskin that he's Chayv Misa. We're not going to go into the whole story of Yosef and his brothers now. But the question that the Torah Tamima has is, if there were snakes inside and Yosef came out alive, they should have seen from that itself, wow, he's a tzaddik. The Gemara says that if a witness comes to Beis Din and says, I saw this woman's husband fall into a pit, and I know that in that pit there was full of snakes and scorpions, nechashim v'akrabim, so the woman's allowed to get remarried based on that testimony. Even though he didn't see the guy die, but we assume if a person falls into a pit full of snakes and scorpions, he's dead. He's going to get killed. So yice, they fell into the pit now of snakes and scorpions. So he comes out alive. So the brothers should have seen from that he's a tremendous tzaddik. So that itself should have showed them that they're wrong. They thought that he's a bad person. They should have seen. Hashem made a nest. He got saved. Right? You know what the answer is? Says the Torah Tumimah, because it says there in the Pasuk, Vayashlichu, they threw him into the pit. And he brings a source that wherever it says in the Torah, Vayashlichu, they threw, it means it's more than 20 amos. It's 40 feet down. When you have a pit that's 40 feet down, you don't see the bottom of the pit exactly what's doing there. Now we have a connection between the two members here. A menorah that's above 40 feet, 20 amos, is possible because the eye doesn't look up high. And you have to do it where the eye looks. The same thing when you throw them down, that's the connection. The eye doesn't see it. You up till 40 feet, you could see what's doing in the pit. More than 40 feet, you don't see. They didn't see the snakes there. There were snakes, but they didn't see it. We had a question, why didn't the brothers see from that itself? That Yosef was a tzaddik? The answer is they didn't see it. They only saw the top of the pit. But down all the way, what's doing there, they didn't see. Now we have a very good connection between the menorah you don't see above 40 feet and the pit you don't see below 40 feet either. So I once said, the very nice pshat of the Torah Tumimah, so I once said, we say in the Slichas, we say, Al tashlicheni le'ei zikna. Don't throw me into old age. Sometimes you meet a person which Nebuch, Rechman Litzlan, from one day to the next, you notice that the last time you saw him or her looked like a young person, and suddenly they look like they aged 25 years. They got a stroke, they got sick, whatever, and they look a completely different person. So that's what we ask Hashem, Al tashlicheni, don't throw me. We just said that whenever you use the word tashlicheni, throw, it means in one zetz, one shot, you threw him down 20 amos. So it means it happens very fast. We want to all go into old age gradually, very gradually. The slower, the better. Don't throw me in one zetz. That's perhaps a thought. Okay. One thought, a second thought. The Pachad Yitzchak Rav Huttner says, Yisod, from the Maral Miprag. The Maral Miprag says that a name is always something miyuchad, special. If it shares with something else, then that's not the name. The name of a thing is its specialty. For example, to make us understand this better, the beginning of Masechta Shabbos begins with, we know there are 39 malachas on Shabbos that are prohibited. Whatever was done in the Mishkan, you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. 39. Which one does the Masechta Shabbos begin with? Hoitzah, which means you're not allowed to carry without an Erev from your Rishus HaYochid into the Rishus HaRabim. The question is, why does Masechta Shabbos begin with that one? In fact, if I remember correctly, it's one of the last ones that are counted in the list of 39. Why does the Masechta begin with one of the last, if not the last, of the 39 malachas? So the answer is because the other malachas of Shabbos are shared with Yontif. Hoitzah is permitted on Yontif. You can't carry on Shabbos, but you're allowed to carry on Yontif. So when we want to speak about Shabbos, we want to speak about miyuchad. We want to speak about what it's special. It's special with hoitzah. Hoitzah is special by Shabbos. It's not by Yontif. Other malachas are prohibited both on Shabbos and on Yontif. So a name, what you want to define something is what is miyuchad, special to that thing. Says Rav Huttner, if we call Chanukah, it means it has to do with chinuch. So the simple understanding of the word chinuch is that the Beis HaMikdash got tamei, the Mizbeach got tamei from the Yevonim, and now the Chashmonaim came and they rededicated. The word Chanukah will mean on the 25th day of Kislev, they rededicated the whole Beis Hamikdash and the Mizbeach. However, we know that the word chinuch also means training children. So Rav Huttner has a whole explanation his way of how to explain what does Chanukah have to do with training children. So I want to just say on a simple level that l'chora we see that the Yevonim wanted to destroy the chinuch that we give to our children. And I asked someone, does he have a source for this? So he said, well, it's included in l'hashkicham tarasecha. If the Yevonim wanted to destroy us from, take us away from learning Torah, so that the older people and also the young, that means that they would force the children not to go to a yeshiva or Beis Yaakov, they would force them to go to their public school, to their, you want them not to go in the way of their forefathers, don't give them chinuch. However, I think there's perhaps even a better source than this. And this is based on something that I heard once from Rav Shimon Schwab Zitzel. Rav Schwab said, the Rambam tells us, what did the Yevonim do against the Jews? They took their daughters, they defiled them, and their money. They took their daughters, pashtu yedeyem bivnoisam uvimimoinam, in their money and their daughters. So Rav Schwab said, how could you put both together? How could you put money together with the daughters? They wanted to do an aver with the daughters, and they also took their money. How in the same sentence can you put a holy thing together with money? So Rav Schwab said, there's one money that's equal to the daughters. You know what money that is? The money that parents spend on chinuch. When you pay a school or a Beis Yaakov or a yeshiva, you pay to be... excuse me, to be mechanech your children, that money has the same kedusha as your children. Because with that money, you're making sure to give the proper education to your children. So the Yevonim, they went not only against the daughters, they went against the money that was paying to be mechanech those daughters. And I was thinking, maybe the Mefarshim say that perhaps this explains the minig. There's a minig on Chanukah to give Chanukah gelt to the melamdim, to the teachers. Because that's what Yavon wanted to destroy, the chinuch of children. So they wanted to stop the funding of that chinuch as well. How can we stop? We won't pay the teachers, the melamdim, the moros. Memela, no one will teach. Memela will destroy the chinuch as well. So on Chanukah, when we want to show how important chinuch is to us, so perhaps that's the source of the minig, that we give Chanukah gelt to the melamdim who are being mechanech our children. So now we see how the word Chanukah has miyuchad. What does the name Chanukah mean, special? It refers to the chinuch, because the Yevonim, part of their plan was to destroy the chinuch of our children. Okay, the last thought I would like to share with you is based on a Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara says, there was a city called Beror Chel, and they had a custom. They weren't allowed to do Bris Milah. So they did Bris Milah in secret. So what did they do? They had Or Haner. If you saw a light, you knew there was a Bris. So Rashi says, Biyom, they used to put a candle in the light, in the daytime. Oy Neiros Nirim Harbe Belaila. Or at night, they put many. Let's say you would need 5 light candles to light up a whole room. They would put 25 candles, much more than was necessary to light up the room. So Rashi says, Simenu, this was a sign, Kemoy Shatsoyek. These candles were screaming out, Mishta Shah Mishta. There's a party going on. What's the party? The party is that they're having a bris. So Tosfos says that mikan nagu lahadlik ner b'mila, that there's a minig, I don't know, maybe some people forget to do the minig, but at every bris, there is supposed to be a candle lit. Why do we light a candle at a bris? Because of this city, Beror Chayil, where whenever there was a bris, and they weren't allowed to make a bris, so they put a candle in the daytime, or they put many, many candles at night, much more than were needed. This screamed out that there's a bris going to be here. From here, says Tosfos, is the minig to light a candle by a bris. Now, so we see here a connection between a bris and a candle. Now, I was thinking, when I just learned this Gemara recently, I was thinking, Hanukkah, we also see that connection. We know that the Yevonim were gozer on Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos, and Bris Milah. And we light candles on Hanukkah. So again, we see there's some connection between a candle, light, and Bris Milah. What's the connection? So I was thinking to perhaps explain it with something that I saw in the Michtam Eliyahu from Rabbi Eliyahu Dessler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. So he asks, there's a famous question which he's trying to answer, and that is, why do we need the whole Ness of Hanukkah? That the light was only supposed to last one day, and it lasted 8 days. If all the lights were Tameh, and they've only found one kosher, and it can only last one night, we have a rule, Oynes Rachamana Patre. If you're an Oynes, you know, they went to get olives and to press new oil. That took another 7 days, right, till they got back. It took 8 days, and they only had for one day. So a miracle happened for 8 days. Why did Hashem make this miracle? They were putter. According to the halacha, you don't have it. You're stuck. There's no way to get it. Everything is tameh, except if you make new, so you're putter. And then there's another question, which everyone asks. We know there's a rule when you come to a tzibur, a tumah, either hutra or tchuya, b'tzibur. It means when you have an individual could be tameh. For example, we know by Pesach Sheni, there were individuals who were tameh. They couldn't bring the korban Pesach Rishon. So they were given, they could bring it Pesach Sheni. What happens if the majority of the B'nai Yisrael are Tameh? You don't push it off to Pesach Sheni. That's called Tuma Hutra B'tzibur. We won't go into the whole thing. There's different opinions. But the idea is that when it's Tzibur is Tameh, most of it, then forget about the Tuma. You go ahead as normal. If it's an individual, most of the tzibur is tahar. The individual is pushed off. He brings a Pesach Sheni. But if Rov of Klal Yisrael would become tameh, then you bring it. So here, we're talking about the Beis HaMikdash. And it was a tzibur. Beis HaMikdash is not an individual. That's public. By public, we have a rule. There's no tumah. You push away the tumah. It's mutter. There's a machlokas. Either you push it away, it's really here, but you push it away, or it's as if it's not even here. Hutra. It's not here, like it doesn't exist. So what's the whole, what did Hashem have to do a miracle for? This is the question that the Michtam Eliyahu addresses. He has a whole lengthy answer. I'm just going to take one part of it. He connects this to a Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara says there was a famous fight between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel. Tanu Rabbanim. Shnei Shonim Umachsa Nechliku Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai Beis Hillel had a fight for 2.5 years. Halalu Oimrim Noyach Loi La'odom Shaloi Nivra Yaisim Shanivra. It's better that a person, that we were never created. Better than if we would be created. That's Beis Shammai. V'halalu Oimrim Beis Hillel said, Noyach La'odom Shanivra Yaisim Shaloi Nivra. It's better that we were created than we were not created. Nimnu V'gamru, after 2.5 years they had this fight back and forth. Noyach Loi La'odom Shaloi Nivra. Beis Shammai is correct. It's better that we would not have been created. But now that we are created, Yefash Beish B'maisav, go check in your actions. V'amri lo Yemash Beish B'maisav, feel your actions. Check everything you do. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter explains that both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel knew that if Hashem created us, then that's good. You can't say something Hashem did is not good. But their argument was, is it logical or is it something that I have to believe in? Beis Hillel was of the opinion it's logical. It's good that a person was born. He could do mitzvahs. Beis Shammai said no. As the Michtav Melyoh says, think how many people in the world are successful in ruchnius, in spirituality. You have less of a chance than winning the lottery. The lottery is one in, 30 million chances? Here it's one in maybe 30 billion. In other words, take the whole world. The whole world doesn't believe in Yiddishkeit. Then even in Yiddishkeit itself, how many of us are religious? And then even from those who are religious, how many of us are tzaddikim and doing everything correctly the way we're supposed to? So it comes out, it's a few people amongst billions, amongst the whole world. So Beis Shammai is saying, if you think of it, noach loishlei nivra. It's like logically, it's better that we wouldn't have been born, because our chances of success are very low. So the Michtav Melyoh wants. So Beis Shammai, according to Rabbi Shmuel Salanter, Beis Shammai says we have to have faith that it was good that we were created. Doesn't make sense logically. Because probably if you ask, are you going to be successful? You're going to goof up. You won't be successful. Beis Hillel says, no, it's good. Have a positive attitude. So Beis Hillel says it's logical that we were created. It's good. Beis Shammai said, faith. It's not logical. So the Michtav Melyoh says, what's the difference whether it's faith or logical? What's the point there? So the Michtav Melyoh, Rabbi Elyoh Dessler explains that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were trying to figure out, how does a person serve Hashem? What should he think? So Beis Shammai is always chesed, kindness, hispashtus, magnanimous. In other words, they're always positive. Perhaps it's connected to the other machlokas, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, in Chanukah. Beis Hillel says you go from 1 to 8, and that's what we do. The first night you light 1, the second night 2, the third night 3, till 8. Beis Shammai goes the opposite. The first day 8, then 7, then 6, then 5, down. Right? Beis Hillel is always the positive attitude. The nest lasted 1 day, it lasted a second day, a fifth day, lasted 8 days. Beis Shammai is always negative. They go down. The first day, okay, we need the nest for 8 days. Now we only need it 7. Now we only need it 5. Now we only need it 1. They're always looking down. The same thing over here. The same, Beis Hillel, positive. If you want to get to the top, every little piece, look at every piece, and Hashem will help you on every rung of the ladder, you'll make it to the top. Beis Shammai looks negative. Poiches v'hoilech. You know, how many mitzvahs are we not careful on? And even those that we do, we don't do it perfectly. We don't have a good kavanah there. They're very negative. So they battled this back and forth for 2.5 years. What was the end? The end was, it looks like, really, Beis Shammai is right. Beis Shammai is right that the chances of being successful are very slim. But, says the Michtav Melyoh, now Hashem put us in this world. So now I think the Israelis have an expression, Ein Breira. Everything, right? I think like Netanyahu said a very good thing. He said if the Arabs put their weapons down, there would be peace. If the Jews put their weapons down, they would be annihilated. So we're going to put our weapons down. We'll be annihilated. Ein Breira. We have to. So the idea of Ein Breira, which the Michtav Melyoh uses those words, Ein Breira. The Ein Breira means logically it doesn't make sense. We're going to fail. But if Hashem put us there, we have to have emunah. That's what Rabbi Shmuel Salanter was talking about, logic or faith. Logically, it's so dark outside that the chances of us surviving is almost nil. But we have to have a moon. If Hashem did it and he gave us this hard choice, it must be that he speaks about azuz de kedusha. We have a chutzpah We're going to do it. In other words, by default, we have to use Beis Hillel's strategy to win. Beis Shammai is really correct. Logically, it doesn't make sense. The odds are stacked against us. But because it's so dark, and yet Hashem put us there, we have to have faith that if we are Yefash Beis B'Masav, if we try to concentrate on every act that we do that it should be good, we will get the Siyata Dishmaya, that we will win, we will prevail. And he says, this is the pshat by Avraham Avinu. He gives a few examples, I'll just take one. Avraham Avinu was thrown into the Kivshan Esh after 10 generations that there were from Noach to Avraham, where the world went away from Hashem. Avraham brings back belief in monotheism, in belief in one Keil Echad, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and now Hashem takes that one tzaddik in the door and throws him into the Kivshan Esh. How is your moon in Hashem going to spread in the world? If I also go into the Kivshan Esh and die, so then it's all over. I'm the only one left that's believing in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why are you throwing me in? But if that's the will of Hashem, Avraham goes in and he's ready that through his death there should be a Kiddush Hashem, and he's ready to do it. And when Avraham was ready to be Moser Nefesh, to go into the Kivshan Esh, that's when Hashem did the miracle and he was saved. When everything is stacked against us and it looks like we can't do it, if we prevail against the odds, we will have the Siyata Dishmaya in the end. Fakert Haran, who went in logically, Haran said, Avraham was saved, so I'll try out. He was killed. Hashem doesn't want the logic here. Hashem wants emunah. Avraham had emunah. If Hashem's telling me, if this is the ruts in Hashem, this is what I have to do. I don't understand it. Doesn't make sense. If this is what I'm saying, like by the Akedah, doesn't make sense. Hashem promised me. Now he's telling me to kill my own son. But if that's what Hashem wants, I'm ready to do it. So when a person comes in that matzav, that's what he calls ein breira. The end is that Hashem makes it work out. So he says that was the Chashmonaim. The Chashmonaim were six Jews, Matasyo and his five sons. They're going to face thousands of the Greek army. So it logically doesn't make sense. But ein breira, that's what I have to do. When you're ready, the same with the oil. They could have used the oil the way it was. They said we need 8 days, so we want to try to make it. Even though it looked logically, it's not possible. That's when Hashem made the nest. They halachically they didn't need it, but their whole attitude, the Chashmonaim, was we're gonna defy the odds. We're gonna go against what makes sense. We're gonna be Moser Nefesh against the logic. And that's when Hashem makes the miracle for a person. So I was thinking that perhaps the light which they lit in this city, and they told people that there's a bris when they weren't allowed to have a bris. So the one shot is they had a light in the middle of the day. The Gemara says, Shraga b'tiara ma'hanale. If you right now, we have a bright day outside, you go put on a candle, what does the candle do? It does nothing. Or the same thing, perhaps, you have a room that needs five candles to light up the whole room. And you put in 25, it's also, the other 20 are doing nothing. They're not, we already have enough light. So it's screaming out that there's a bris here. The idea, because by a bris also, a bris is the eighth day, is lemailum and ateva. And this is what the Yevonim were trying to destroy. The Lamailam and Ateva. They went with Teva. And the Jew has the chutzpah. We're going to go against Teva. When a parent takes his little baby and inflicts at the eighth day a gushing wound with the blood coming out, I think it's the Zohar says, that's a tremendous Mesiris Nefesh. The child doesn't know what's going on. But for the parents, that's a tremendous Mesiris Nefesh. But that's what Hashem wants, and we're ready to do it. So perhaps that is, I was thinking, that's the connection between the light of the in the city of Or Bror, of Bror Chayil. They used to light this light. That was screaming out There's a bris here because the bris is also lamaila minateva. And that's what the candle represents. We know ma'at minor doicha harbe minachoshech. You have a pitch black room. You bring in a little light, and the light lights up the whole room. Schwab Zitzal said that when you remember there was the USSR, the communist KGB, and you weren't allowed to practice Yiddishkeit, and they made a bris in secret, and they could have been sent away to Siberia. So he said, what brought down overnight the communist rule fell like dominoes. It just fell, glasnost, it fell apart. And what was that? That was the little light, he said, of the Baalei Tshuva movement. Those who kept Yiddishkeit in secret in Russia, Rav Schwab says that's, otherwise, logically, it doesn't make sense how the whole Soviet Union just crumbled. But he said it was the light of those, that was the Ness of Hanukkah. So perhaps the light in the room when it's in the middle of the day, it doesn't do anything. Or the many lights that don't accomplish, it's already lit up. The idea is that this is not logical. It's when a person has an attitude that even though it's dark outside and it looks like everything is over and we're not going to be successful, but Ein Breira, a Jew has to live with against the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah wants to make us give up hope. You'll never succeed. And we have to say, Hashem put us on this world, as dark as our lives may look, but Mirtz Hashem, if we have the chutzpah, the kedusha, the azaz, the kedusha, that we will prevail even though it looks dark, and we light that light of the Ner Chanukah, and that we light the light by a bris, that light indicates that the little bit of light will be able to destroy a lot of the chayshah. Happy Chanukah.
Rabbi Grossman.